Welcome to Game Central Station, where we talk all things gaming.
Hi, this is Joe, Game Central Station, and I'm sitting here ready to go to the Southern Fried Game Room Expo. Been looking forward to this for, a year. I actually missed it the past 2 years because I moved down to Charleston, and it was just too far to make it up to Atlanta. But now that I'm back a little bit closer, up in the Clemson, upstate area of South Carolina, it's a lot easier just to make the drive. I went down to a friend of mine's house and stayed with him the night, and we're both going to ride up together. We went to this thing the first year it started. I listened to the podcast about, I forget the guy's name now, but they talked about, retro pinball and arcade machines. And I was like, man, this is awesome. And they started saying, hey, we're going to do this expo. And I was like, well, okay, I'm going to go to this thing. First year was awesome. Second year was okay. It was pretty good, but there wasn't a lot of the vendors that I wanted to. I'm into the console gaming mainly, and they didn't have any of those vendors the second year. But this year, the vendors are back. Wizard Gaming, I believe is what they're called, is going to be there. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping that I can find maybe a box Saturn. I don't have one of those in my collection. Or something to that effect. Something that grabs me. I wouldn't be doing this podcast if I went into retro gaming and gaming in general. But I'm with my buddy. We'll be going up, Mike Garcia. He's a really cool guy. We went to high school together. We've been friends ever since. So we're really looking forward to this trip. We'll get back with you on, what we played, what we found. We might try to do some videos and put it up on the YouTube channel. But we're excited. We're very excited. The past couple of years that we went, it's just tons of arcade machines, tons of pinball. It's $65 for the whole weekend. If you register early, it's like 50-something bucks. But it's all set to free play, so you get to go around and play all these pinballs. And I was a noob to pinball, still am, but I didn't know there was two player. I didn't know you could hit start twice and one person could play and then the next person could play, and you have the scores that you compete against. But there's a ton of good ones, like High Speed, really fun pinball machine if you haven't played it. The new Star Trek pinball machine came out about 3-4 years ago, or probably 5 years ago. Really fun. And then there's a Lord of the Rings one that it's funny, man, that the pinball machines have these stories to them, and you can play through them. Something I didn't realize when I was a kid until I went to this thing. So I'm looking forward to it. I think that everybody else there is going to have fun. So I'll update you some more as time goes on. Hey guys, this is Joe again with Mike Garcia.
Heyo.
We are in the mini driving up to Atlanta. So excuse all the road noise and everything else, but it's part of
the pilgrimage.
Part of the pilgrimage. So Southern Fried, man.
Yeah, it's exciting, man.
Yeah, we went up there, like I said in the last segment. What was it, 3 years ago?
About that. Life is in the way. Or not in the way, but life experiences.
A couple of kids,
Moving.
Yeah. That happened. Job switching.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first year when me and Mike went up there, man, it was great. We got to connect. Got to spend some time hanging out, playing games, talking. Almost getting killed on that road trip to go get a smoothie.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, I forget. We were, it was in Atlanta, and we went somewhere. I don't know. We were trying to find a Smoothie King or something like that. I really want a freaking smoothie for some reason. And it took us like an hour or something to find this place, and it wasn't even open. And it was like a thunderstorm, lightning storm.
Yeah, we barely made it back.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as we got back, the heavens opened up and it was just water everywhere. So we just made it back.
Yeah. So
actually, I think we talked about it a couple times. There was really nothing to eat around there. It was kind of like we're in a desert and like there's no food nearby unless you want to buy hotel food, which is pretty pricey.
Right.
And you want to eat rotisserie chicken at Walmart. So we didn't have a lot of options.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I forgot what I was going to say then. Anyway, it was nuts. It was nuts. That's what I was going to say. I think we both maybe decided this, that we weren't going to leave the hotel the following year. We're like, forget leaving, because it was such a horrific experience the first time around. But the second year, I think it was in the same hotel, but I guess there was a restaurant in there that maybe we didn't eat at before or whatever, but it was pretty good. It wasn't the best. It was a little price. It was a couple of dollars more than I wanted to spend on
food. Yeah, for sure.
It saved us the effort of having to go out.
I think delivery was the key. We had pizza delivered. Let the food come to us.
Oh, yeah.
Which worked out. And now, this was before Uber Eats and all that, so it was not a lot of options. You either had pizza. I don't know if Chinese takeout came out there, but maybe. But it was food. It was fuel. Gamer fuel. That's what we needed.
Dude, you remember that guy that had he got like marquees, the glass marquees on top of arcades, and he made a wood box around them and put LED lights behind them.
Yeah.
He had so many cool ones, and I was like, man, I want to get one of those, but I didn't want to spend the money on it. You know, so the first day that he was out there, I was like, oh man, I think he had a Ninja Gaiden one or something like that. And I was like, dude, Ninja Gaiden marquee? Heck yeah. But I was like, nah, I'm cool. The next day, I was like, I gotta buy something from this dude. It's so cool. All he had left was like a Mega Man. It wasn't even a marquee off an arcade. It was just a Mega Man piece of glass that had all like, you
character selection.
Yeah, the character selection stuff. But it was cool as heck. I was like, I might want to steal this guy's idea, because all it was that plastic piece of whatever with a, you know, a great print on it. Build a little wood box around it.
Stain the box.
Stain the box.
Put the electronics.
It's just an LED strip light with a wire coming out the back for a plug. That was it. I got that stuff sitting around all over my house. You know? Like, I can make that. Well, I can make put the LED strip. I don't know about the box.
I got you.
Yeah, Mike can build a box. I'm the farthest thing from a carpenter. But anyway, that was kind of cool. That guy was there. And they had the retro... There was a retro magazine, retro gaming magazine. They were there. And they gave away a couple of magazines. That's a pretty good magazine if you ever read it. They still... You can, you know, get a subscription for it and get it mailed to you. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But... So, yeah, the first year, second year... First year was great. Mentioned this before. I think the second year was okay.
It was okay. Not the people we wanted to see when we went there. It was more like pinball parts. You know, it's not our cup of tea. So it was fun. We still had the games, the free plays, but, you know, we were missing the retro stuff. You know, the
retro Avengers.
Cartridges and all the stuff we're into.
Now, Billy Mitchell was at the first two. And I didn't really know who that guy was until I watched that King of Kongs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, cool, okay, he, you know, made high score. That's awesome. So the second year, I think it was the second year, the first, I can't remember now. They blend together. Anyway, I had King Kong on the NES, the arcade version. You know, the black label. And I bring that, and there's a meet and greet time with Billy Mitchell. And we actually had to play him on the big, remember the big Pac-Man arcade?
Yeah.
Which I got annihilated. I think
I was almost gonna get it.
Yeah, you were close, man. It's like a 4-player big old Pac-Man arcade machine. And but I got Billy Mitchell to sign my NES card. You know, I was like, hey, do you mind signing my card? And I got a poster it was the first one. I remember that. It was the first one, and I got him to sign the poster. But now there's all this, you know, like he cheated. I'm like, should I write, you know, what should I do with this guy's signature? And I'm like, I'll keep it.
Just keep it.
I'll keep it, because, you know, it's a fun story. And when I met the guy, at least, he seemed like a cool guy. You know, he wasn't like, he had a character that he was playing, which is this Billy Mitchell guy with a mullet and a suit and an American tie and a thumb up and a hot sauce company, which, did you try this hot sauce? I didn't get to try it.
No.
I mean, if he has a company, it's got to be okay, you know, or else he wouldn't have a company. But it was fun. It was definitely fun. So this year, there's a new venue, a new hotel. It's a lot bigger, apparently. They have a whole room just dedicated to console gaming. And that Wizards vendor is going to be there in that room. So that's like the first spot I want to go to. Go straight in there, see what they got.
Yep, same here.
Try to get something cool. And then that's probably the last spot I want to go to before they leave to see if they have anything on like super sale.
Well, definitely got to hit up the flea market, which is a new thing.
Oh, I forgot about the flea market. Yeah. I'm hoping, man, I was going to bring stuff, but I just didn't have the time to go through it, you know?
Yeah. I had stuff, but, you know, I'm kind of a hoarder, so it's... I have two, so I don't want to give up one.
Right.
But, so, yeah, kind of a hoarder, so it's kind of hard to part with stuff once I have it.
Yeah, well, you've seen all the junk I got. I'm like, I definitely have triples of things.
Uh-huh.
But the thing I didn't know, you know, is, okay, I bring all this stuff. Maybe we'll figure it out this year. But, find all the stuff that I want to bring to either sell or trade. So trading, I don't know if these people are going to want to trade. Maybe they will. I mean, it seems like these gaming communities, they will trade. But, I don't know. Or I could sell. And I don't think it costs anything. You just have to register. But, I don't know. Maybe it's $5 for a table. But it's going to be a mad dash because it's...
Well, I guess we could ask the guy selling... You know, how he came about doing it.
That's true.
Kind of figure it out for next year.
That's true. That'd be a good idea. I think I remember to ask somebody. But maybe next year, I might bring some stuff. I always kick myself when I sell something.
Yeah.
I'm like, I could have had 5 copies of Mario Bros., you know?
Well, think about this, though. If you're going to go sell, is that a time that we're selling? I don't want to miss out on the good stuff either.
Right. Well, it's like 10 to 12.
Okay.
So it's only 2 hours.
Okay, gotcha.
So if you're selling, you're pretty dedicated to selling and not looking at other stuff. Unless you tag teamed it.
True.
You know, like, you man the booth the second hour. I man the first hour. Something like that. Or vice versa. But, I don't know. Is there anything that you're looking for that you, like... been wanting?
No, not really. I mean, I do want a couple Mega Man games, 1 and 2. But beside that, no, kind of whatever is pretty rare, I'll be into getting. Definitely want Mario RPG.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
I definitely want that. My NES collection is... Super NES collection is decent. Pretty decent. And I definitely want to expand it. So that's pretty much it. I'm definitely into Sega and Dreamcast. So if I see that kind of stuff, I'm all in.
Yeah, I'm definitely... I think I'm going to be looking for Sega stuff. So either... Really, I want a box Saturn. That's like the goal. A really nice box. But... any Master System stuff?
Yeah.
I'm game, dude.
Surprisingly, I don't know how it is where everyone else is listening, how their experience is, but I see very little Sega cartridges, very little Sega stuff, very little Dreamcast stuff. It's kind of rare to see things like that nowadays. I don't know if people got smart to how good it is, how ahead of its time it was, with the 5K and online gaming, playing Phantasy Star till 3 in the morning.
All
yeah,
night?
Yeah, pretty much. So, definitely Sega's the thing we're going to be keeping an eye out this time.
Yeah. You know what would be cool to find? Is Seaman.
Seaman?
Remember the one with the, it's a fish with a human head?
Oh, yeah, with the microphone and all
that. Yeah, with the microphone and all that mess? I really want to, I want to find that and play it. I definitely want to find it and play it before, like, so there's this thing, I think I've told you about it, Mike, but like, disc rot.
Yeah.
You know, so the discs aren't lasting forever. So if you want to play these games originally, you know, with the original system and the original game, you need to probably do it in the next 10 years before those CDs are just trash.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a whole, you know, I don't really condone it, but the pirating community, because it's saving a lot of these games. You can download them.
I mean, that's going to be the only way to play it eventually.
Some games now, that is the only way to play it. Some of those rare ones that were never released and the company lost all the data somehow, but some dude somewhere uploaded the ROM of it and saved that game. And companies have even come back and said, hey, you know, do you still have that code? Like, we'd like to get it to, you know, make this game again. So it's, anyway, that was off on a side tangent there, but I'm looking for Master System stuff for sure. The cartridges stuff, you know, it's a good, I don't know how long those are supposed to last.
They're pretty old already, so they might, who knows? I mean, we got games that are pretty old, older than us, and they're still working, so, you know, Atari's been there. I'm not into Atari, but their games are still playing, and we're going to see a few at the convention this time.
Yeah. Well, so a good example is like Mario RPG, because it has a battery in it, one of those watch batteries. And those batteries, you know, they don't last forever.
True.
And sometimes they'll leak out. Some of them will. Now, I don't know if they're lithium, though. If they're lithium, then it shouldn't leak out. It just won't save your... I think they're lithium. So... it just won't save your game anymore. So you got to go in there and you can re-solder that. Take that back. You have to unsolder it and then solder it back on.
Yeah.
Or you can get batteries that already have the metal arm on it and you solder it back to the board, which is apparently easier.
Huh.
But I'm not good at soldering. I need to pick up those skills. But you know, this might be a good spot to ask people about it, though. With all the pinball and arcade machines. A lot of repair people there.
Let me ask you this. You still have your pinball machine?
No, dude. I sold it to a dude.
Yeah.
So, okay, here's the story, guys. I bought a pinball machine off a lady in Charleston for $100. It was a Fairplay, I believe it was. Pinball machine. Old, like, I don't know, 60s looking era, 70s maybe. With the glass bulbs. And
before all the digital stuff.
Before all the digital. It was all mechanical.
Yeah.
And, it would, you know, I would plug it in. I couldn't figure out what fuse to put in, so I put a fuse in it. Plug it in, it'd stay on for like 5 seconds and blow the fuse. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I can't find the fuse. I can't move it. I just wanted to have one U-Haul coming back, you know.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, I sold it to this dude for like $120. So I got my money back and a little. Dude said it was just like, what was it? It was like two parts, two little parts that were nothing, and the whole thing worked perfectly. I'm like,
great.
I could have had this thing of pinball, but I have nowhere to put it in the new house.
Yeah.
Maybe if I get that upstairs finished.
That's true.
I'm alluding to, there's this whole upstairs to the house I bought, and it's this old shag carpet and stuff. It's really horrible. I need to fix it all up. There's no AC. But if I can get it fixed up, that's going to be a massive game room. It's probably 600 square foot, 700 square foot.
Yeah.
Massive game room.
Although, the carpet would have matched the pinball, to be honest.
Well, I was thinking about one area up there of leaving a square of the shag carpeting, like shampooing it.
Okay.
And using it like as a little YouTube corner.
Oh,
you know,
maybe.
Like put an old TV over there, put some lighting.
Well, we would have to have the old TV to play the Duck Hunt and
right,
all the stuff
right,
like that.
Right.
And to be honest, the older TVs, the systems look better on the older TVs than they do on the newer ones. You would have to get cables and stuff to make it look just as crisp. But there's something about the old TVs that just look better. I mean, I don't know personally how you do it, but on my TVs, when I hook my Sega, it looks so dark.
Yeah.
And I rack up the brightness, and it doesn't look that great, so...
Yeah, there's a whole community around making these games, these older consoles, look better. But it costs a lot of money. Man, I forget the name of this thing. It's basically a converter box, but it costs, I think it's like $300-$400.
Okay.
You plug your system into it, and it basically, it just basically makes it look better on a flat screen TV. I can't believe I can't remember the name of it. But there's a YouTube channel called My Life in Gaming, and all those guys do is make these really in-depth videos of what, like a Sega, right? Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
Which Sega Genesis console is the best picture quality, audio quality, right? Then how do you hook it up to your TV?
Huh.
What system, like what cables do you use? There's new cables you get now that convert to a higher resolution. There's a ton of stuff like that. So one of the things, this kind of leads into the expo a little bit, is that I want to find a high definition Gen 1 Genesis.
Yeah.
And it has to say high definition on the top.
Ah.
There's some that don't say high definition.
You know, it's, we kind of found that out not too long, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, that sometimes the first systems are the better systems. Like,
right.
Even though the bugs aren't out of it, but they got higher end products in them, electronics. And then, you know, once the maker figures out, oh, we can go with this, they kind of shortchange you a little. You know, they go with cheaper materials. They go with a cheaper company that makes it faster, cheaper, and they still make the same amount of money. So I think you have a first PlayStation 1,
right,
that has
RCA,
pretty high-end audio,
yeah,
on it that doesn't look like regular PlayStations. When you turn it around, it has different connections, different hookups. And, you know, we kind of discovered it by accident. We kind of were just looking at his systems, putting them away because he was moving. And we're like, why does this one look different? You know? So, yeah, I mean, you never know. I mean, people just, you know, in the end, they just want to make money. And if it's a cheaper way to make it, they're going to do it. Even though it sacrifices, you know, audio and quality. But, you know, we still want the good stuff in the end.
Well, it's like the infamous PlayStation 3, right? Like the first version of PlayStation 3, as you probably all know, it could play PS2 games.
Yes.
You know, so play PS1, PS2. Had the actual, like, you know, components in it to play it. But then as time went on, they took that out. And eventually they made the system cheaper. So, you know, there is a little bit to be said that they do save you a little bit of money. But not by much. I'd rather pay a little bit more, or at least have the option.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, okay, I'd like to get the one that has the backwards compatibility. So... But that's a whole other episode we can do, man, about backwards compatibility.
True. I mean, from what I've heard, I mean, I don't know. I know the new PlayStation's got... They always sell you on it, you know. It's going to be backwards compatible with all the games, which would be amazing. You know, because we can play our PlayStation 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That'd be perfect, but...
There's Vita.
There's always... You know, they try to hook you in. I mean... I don't have the new PlayStation 4. I want it. I'm trying to convince the boss lady to get it, but it's not going to happen. So, that would be the only way I could play PlayStation 4 games. But, you know, I got the PlayStation 3. 80 gig, fat, with the Metal Gear on it. As soon as it came out, just because it had backwards compatibility. So it's definitely a selling point to people out there.
Did you ever fix that power?
No.
No, you haven't done it?
I haven't had a chance to open it up and put the... So my Wi-Fi gave out in my PlayStation. I parted out another one. I got the Wi-Fi board, the cable and everything. I haven't put it back together yet, but I haven't had time. I haven't played it. I came across a stash of retro games, and that's pretty much what I've been focusing on for a while.
Dude, that could be its own episode.
Yeah, we could make an episode of just the haul I found in an apartment I was working at.
It was nasty. Just to give you a hint, it was a nasty, literally a nasty apartment.
Yeah.
But it was a nasty haul.
Yeah. I mean, I had to go through trash bags of stuff. But there were, you know, Final Fantasy III cartridges, and I'm like, I gotta go through the trash bag.
Right.
So you gotta do what you gotta do, guys. That's just part of the adventure.
Part of the hunt.
Yeah.
Part of the hunt. Well, all right. So I think we'll end this segment. But thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Mike, for driving the car. Sorry about the audio. And we will, you know, definitely update you about what's going on. So thank you guys for listening.
Peace.